God. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Monday Night Therapy. I am here on my own tonight. There is no Todd. And we're going to see how well this goes. I haven't done this for a while by myself, but I thought, yeah, let's give it a shot. There's a lot going on and a lot to talk about, and I'm sure you have comments and all that kind of stuff, even though I'm not seeing the comments coming in. Linda Wilkins says, good evening, John. Good evening, Linda. Okay. My God, this is since we last talked. What happened? And you know what? I might as well start with it. After Trev Albert left, I did a reaction video. And in that reaction video, I said we should all blame the Board of Regents. And, you know, Albert's left saying that he, you know, blamed the lack of vision and lack of leadership or whatever the hell it was. And I thought about that for a long time. And I thought, you know what? It just sounds like, you know, it sounds like bullshit. And the reason why it sounds like bullshit is just 4 months ago, he said it was the greatest place to be. He got a big extension, big raise. I realize this is getting to be old news now. But and then 4 months later, he's leaving for Texas A&M. What did he need in that 4 months? You know, what did he need somebody to make a decision for that he couldn't make himself? And there's no coaches to fire. Everybody's doing well. Things are going probably better than they have in a long time. And we're hearing about, there's a lack of leadership. Okay, well, that sucks up with the left side of the fence that, you know, doesn't like Governor Pelham. You pull in that whole political spectrum and you make yourself a good guy to some people because you spoke out about it. But what did Trev Albers really need anybody else to make a decision on? And there's only one thing that I can think of, and that is his renovation project. And, you know, he was asking them to spend $450 million on renovating this stadium. And if you know construction, you know that that $450 million would have turned into probably $700 million by the time it was done. And that's a lot of money right now. Nebraska, because they're in the Big Ten, is going to make a lot more money, but still putting yourself up for $500 million or $700 million worth of stadium renovations. That's, you know, especially right now when college football is in a time of huge upheaval and huge change, and we're not sure what's going to happen. Wow, this takes a lot longer without Todd. Justin Rogge says, where's Todd? Todd decided to take the night off. We'll go with that. Fred Sacco says, raise your hand if you told everyone Trev was an asshole and a snake a long time ago. I think I did a reaction video when he was first hired, and I was not pleased with the hire. And I think that part of that was is because I saw it as Trev Alberts just being another Nebraska 90s guy, and he really wasn't going to do anything different. I think he did some things while he was here that were worthy. Like I said, things have gone now better than they have in a while. One thing I don't want to come out of this with is this. Attacking Texas A&M for things. You know, the Aggies, I worked at Texas A&M. I put the sound system, fire alarm system in their Kyle Field, and probably around 1980-81, somewhere in there, when they did some stadium work. And, you know, I liked it down there. It was fun. I had a ball. Dixie Chicken, Dudley's Drawl, if you've ever been down there. I wonder if those places are still be there, because I haven't been there in a long time. Anyway, Trev Alberts, I think the whole decision-making, the whole... If I had to pick the reasons he left, and my wife earlier, I told her this, and she's like, you're just like you're making up what's in his head. Yeah, I am. I admit it. The reasons why he left, I think he just he wasn't getting what he wanted out of whatever the leadership was giving him. And that means he wasn't going to get his big renovation project. I'm guessing that, maybe we'll see that down the road. I don't think the funding is there, and it certainly shouldn't be funded when the university is already going through budget problems. And they're probably going to be going through budget problems for a few years because of the dropping enrollment, nothing to do with the athletic department. It's not a good look when you go ahead and spend ton millions on stadium stuff and your academic side is falling down. Okay, a few comments. And since I don't have a second person here, it's a little bit harder to get through them. Wow, Linda Wilkins. Okay, let's talk, Trev. Now I now think of Trev Alberts as just like Benedict Arnold. A lot of people are calling him Benedict Alberts. Arnold was a great general and a confidant of George Washington right up to the point of selling out and becoming a traitor. You know, I honestly, this is getting to be long enough though, go with Alberts that I just really want to forget about it and look ahead. Unfortunately, we can't really do that, can we? Because the NCAA selection committees, both of them, decided that they would put Nebraska's men's and basketball teams up against the Texas A&M Aggies, which we play this Friday. Husker Chuck says it's best. We just need to beat the crap out of A&M twice this week. That's true. I don't, you know, my. I don't think that anybody else cares. I don't think, for example, I don't think the Aggies care. I don't think the, you know, anybody outside the Nebraska sphere cares about this game that much. Maybe they'll play it up nationally. Maybe there's a bunch of athletic directors sitting around laughing somewhere that think this is hilarious. I'm sure they do. But I know that it, if we don't, if we lose both, it's going to be a disaster or tragedy because we'll probably beat ourselves up more than anybody else will. If we beat the men's or women's, one of them, like, you know, we'll just beat them both and we'll go from there. Okay. David Matney says, I hereby use my powers as a channel member to request that Trev's name be removed from the stadium and replaced with one. The one and only our fearless leader of coordination, John Johnston. I'm for that. That'd be kind of weird. Husker Chuck says, is it true A&M stands for ass hat and mother? Gee whiz, I heard that somewhere. You know, when I was in Texas, everything was an Aggie joke. And I can't describe what an Aggie joke is without being kind of racist, you know. It that everything was about, you know, it was just your standard. How many Aggies does it take to screw in a light bulb? And then you'd go from there, you know, how many Aggies does it take to blah, blah, blah. But everything was Texas A&M jokes down there. I think the other thing interesting about Alberts is that if you look at the Nebraska, I do think Nebraska has some leadership issues. I think that I think our governor, well, Nebraska's governor, I don't live there. I think he needs to decide if he wants to be a regent or the governor. And if he wants to be the governor, then just leave the regents alone to do whatever the hell they do and pick whoever they want to be president because that's what their job is. And your job is to be governor. And I think that's over here separate. And I don't think they should be. You know, honestly, I'll be honest, you get a little tiny bit of politics. I think university should be a place where young people glow. They go, they get exposed to everything. They get exposed to different people. When I was in engineering there, I studied with mostly international students, and you know, I learned a lot about being around them. But I think it's a place you go and you learn how to be a communist. And then when you graduate, you get a job and you get your paycheck and you see how many taxes come out on it. Then you suddenly go, shit, I'm a conservative. And I mean, you know, commie and conservative means completely different things to me than they do to people these days. But I think I really think the universities, it's okay if they're bastions of liberalism because what, why not? That's what the academic people mostly are on the left side. So if you're going to attract good academic people, just let them be lefty. It's okay. They won't affect everybody, and you know, the world won't fall apart. Let's see. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Oh my God. Oops. Somebody says agree. Nate Anthelt said agreed. Come on, John. Let's go here. This dead air. Husker Chuck says people are wider than they used to be, much wider. We need to modernize the stadium capacity, what it is with modern amenities. I don't disagree with that. I think that here's the thing with it. Right now, like I said, there's a lot of changes going on in football. There's, you know, on the day that Trev Alberts left, there's also another thing happened where the College Football Playoff Committee agreed to a future format in which the Big Ten and SEC will get 58% of the proceeds out of College Football Playoff. So there's going to be a hell of a lot more money coming into football and coming into Nebraska because of being in the Big Ten than there was before. At the same time, I think Trev Alberts did say today that when revenue sharing hits, they can figure on paying $15 to $20 million per year to student athletes. And that's probably a good figure to look at. So maybe it's a wash, but I think the problem with doing the amenities right now, I don't disagree that they need to modernize it, but I think doing it right now, there's a lot of upheaval, a lot of change. You know, somehow I think they got to get Neil figured out so that it's fair to everybody and that people have some kind of semblance of what's going on. Okay, Vince Watson disagrees with the stadium thing. Media and crybabies blowing it out of proportion. His name is there for playing days, not what has happened since. That's true. I think that, I don't know. Yeah, again, like I said earlier, I think we should just kind of move on that they stuck this frickin' Texas A&M fate in our thing in our face for Friday night. So, gee. Okay. Matt Snowbeck says, I like the stadium. I do not want it to resemble an NFL stadium. Well, I think if it was going to resemble an NFL stadium, they'd have to tear it completely down and or build another one in its place. You know, then it would look more like an NFL stadium. You know, some of the – I've been to U.S. Bank. That's a nice new stadium where the old Metrodome was pretty much just horrid trash. Remrec says got to get that stadium renovated. I agree. Oh, and James Borden brings up Wi-Fi. They've been trying to get Wi-Fi in there for a while. You know, I haven't done stadium that size, but I've done a lot of stuff with Wi-Fi installations over my IT career, and I can tell you this. Trying to go into a place where a building was built in Memorial Stadium 1923 and put in Wi-Fi is like some kind of nightmare from hell because all the walls are like solid concrete with rebar in them. And it's just, you know, I think Louisiana was supposed to do some university down there. It was like built in 1860. And it was going to be impossible to get wireless into this place without putting wireless hubs every. Anyway, that's other. Okay. What else do we got? Oh my God, I'm only 14 minutes into this. I'm going to have to figure this out, huh? All right. We have basketball coming up. I haven't seen the previews for that yet, which means I think that you've got from Texas A&M men's side, I know nothing about the women's side, but from the Texas A&M men's side basketball-wise, I think that they're known as a great rebounding team. They don't defend the three well. I've seen it. People, you know, Jay Bielis or Bielis, whatever his name is, has released his bracket and apparently picked Texas A&M, which should make you feel sad, I guess. So you got everybody saying, well, Nebraska's not going to win this game, to people saying Texas A&M shouldn't even be in this tourney. So, yeah, I don't know what to, you know, I guess we're going to find out Friday, aren't we? Let's see, baseball this last weekend swept Nichols, and from my understanding, Nichols was undefeated coming into the weekend, and Nebraska, I think, they finished 16-1 on Saturday, which was pretty wild. oh my God! John says, how many people are willing to connect to public Wi-Fi? Am I just paranoid? Well, I mean, it's not just a Wi-Fi. It's going to be your phone's network and stuff like that. But you still need to be able to. I won't go into the technical details. Sorry. Okay, let's see. The Big Ten tourney, Nebraska. Big Ten tourney. We won a game on Friday. We went into Saturday, beat the snot out of Indiana so badly. Their coach Mike Woodson decided that he'd technical himself out of the game, which is interesting. And now Indiana has said they're not going to be in the NIT because they're Indiana and they're going to focus on nil and things like that. That was some pretty surprising. Good game against Illinois, at least for the first half. They shot lights out, and then they just in the second half they went cold and they didn't hit their shots. And I think that's the key to beating the. That's going to be the key to Texas A&M. Is that they got to hit their threes. I think we all know that. If you paid any attention to basketball whatsoever, against Illinois in the second half stepped up the defense in the second half and started playing a lot better in the second half. And then what's that kid's name? Is it Terrence Shannon that took off and scored 40 against us? And here's the thing about him. Not once during the entire time that I watched the Big Ten tourney, and I did watch Illinois, Wisconsin for the title. Not once did I hear anybody mention that the kid is, has felony rape charges against him. And I realize he won his lawsuit or whatever it was against Illinois for not suspending him. And he doesn't seem like a trash talker or a horrible person, but he's still, you'd think at least once during a broadcast they would have mentioned this because it's kind of a huge looming issue. I don't know. Mike Schuster said, John, did you go to any basketball game? No, I didn't. I had an offer of tickets Friday, and anymore I'm dealing with brain issues, and I am getting way too fatigued. And I knew that if I went to the game Friday, I'd probably have to lay in bed all day Saturday and maybe Sunday. So that's just how life goes. Oscar Chuck says fatigue took over with 15 minutes left. I think they look that way, but they sat the Fred sat the starters. There are a number of starters in the first half for quite a while. So I don't know about that. I mean, Meter Diop deep. Got into the game for a while, and he has barely played this season. Scott Schroeder, South Stadium is atrocious. It needs renovations badly. I wonder if they can do it without 450. Maybe they'd knock it down to like 150 million, which would then be about 250 million in real cost. Fred Sacco says if that was Nebraska, they'd have put up jail stats for our guy and talked about how we were a win at all cost team. One of the other things that I would say about the Big Ten basketball tourney is they don't call fouls against Zach Edey at all. And I think you saw that if you've watched Wisconsin versus Purdue. Purdue didn't make it to the national title or the Big Ten tourney national, the Big Ten tourney championship. But Wisconsin did beat them at the end. It was very good, but it was obvious. I don't know if you watched this. Tyler Wall just got ran over by Edey, and they called Tyler Wall, who was stationary, for blocking. And I was just shocked by that, that you foul a guy out of the game with that call. And that going into the tourney, I wonder if the NCAA tourney, if Zach Edey is going to get those same calls. He's probably not, and that's why I wouldn't pick Purdue as winning any national bracket. Okay. I told you guys, I think before, that I hate Illinois basketball. I'm not sure why, and I think I know why now. And part of it is just not liking, I don't hate Brad Underwood. That's the thing, but I hate Illinois. Maybe it's because they just got these big guys, and I don't know. They seem to pick up. They certainly seem to pick up the call, but the calls. That wasn't why Nebraska lost to Illinois. They lost to Illinois because they stopped hitting their shots. Okay, all right. So let's move on. Let's see what else. I actually made some notes. Baseball, basketball is a Big Ten tourney. Trev Alberts covered all those. And that brings us to Matt Rhule. Yeah, Matt Rhule had his press conference today. And he spent the first 12 minutes talking about Nebraska's athletic department. And let's see, he talked about, I have notes on this. He talked about his son is going to be coming to college at UNL. He said that his wife is starting a business in Lincoln. He said his daughters look up to Nebraska female athletes. And he basically said, I'm not going anywhere, because I know there's been a lot of, you know, chatter on social media that because Ted Carter left, because Trev Alberts left, that, well, Matt Rhule is going to be the next one out the door. Well, okay, why? Because he basically owns the world right now. Why would he go anywhere? It's just silly. And I don't mean next year either. You know, next year he's going to come up for job openings because he's going to have a really good year and be a fantastic coach. Okay, back to his press conference. I watched the first 15 minutes. I didn't watch the whole thing. And the reason why I watched the first 15 minutes was because, I wanted to see what he was going to say about everything. But he talked about just about everybody at Nebraska. I mean, he said he thanks Trev and Angela Alberts, I think Trev's wife is. Look, we're on a first name basis now that he's gone. I think that, he said that, you know, he was thankful for him being there and that he thought of him as a friend. And, you know, those are fine things. I mean, you don't kick somebody out the door. We can do that on social media. I think that it's just, you know, keep it on the high road. And he did that very well. He talked about how he liked Governor Jim Pillen. He loves the state of Nebraska. He talked somewhat about revenue sharing. He talked about the fact, and I think this is a known fact, that Nebraska's athletic department is one of the best well-known or best well-run athletic departments in the nation. He talked about, in fact, let's see, Matt Rhule during his press conference talked about Josiah Alec and how fun it was to watch him play. Sam Hoiberg's always going after loose balls. Kasey Tominaga and Juwan Gary's passion after the game, after they lost to Illinois. He talked about Mark Manning. He talked about John Cook and Nebraska volleyball. He talked about the women's basketball team and Jazz Shelley and Alexis Markowski. If you don't know who those people are, you should figure that out fast. But he said a couple of things. We'll take some comments and then we'll get to the next one. Okay, we'll go through some comments. Mike Schuster says, did you watch Trader Trev press conference today? Snake thanked Nebraska and Tom Osborne. Well, you know, again, those are things you do kind of just to, I don't know, be nice or act like a nice guy so that people can't come back on you. That's honestly what happens there. And yeah, I did watch him. It was kind of creepy doing the swaying back and forth to the Texas Aggies fight song. And just that whole thing was, it was a little much. You know, I wish him luck. I don't, like I said earlier, I don't want to beat on Texas A&M too much. But, I mean, they are a very, I think, different institution. I think I had a conversation with somebody on Twitter over the weekend where I said, you know, do you think there's more meddling in the universities down there than there is up here? And he pointed out that for Texas Tech, I think it is, and A&M, because there are the three public universities, he said the legislature leaves them alone to do their business and they can hire whatever teachers they want and some things like that. But on the other hand, I mean, when you look at if you look at Nebraska, you maybe got one, two donor families that want their hands and things. And if you go to Texas A&M, I mean, he's going to have to deal with like 12 or 15 people like that. Different families, different clans. Maybe they're like different little military, like different companies. And they all form a battalion called the 12th Man. I don't know. I forgot how that worked. Okay. What are our chances of beating Texas A&M on Friday? Well, DraftKings, I ought to get paid for this. DraftKings has us as a one-point favorite. So it's probably going to be a very dicey game and come down to, like I said, it's going to come down to Nebraska hitting threes and how the refs call the game. You know, you get into the NCAA tournament, you never know what's going to happen. Never know how those things are going to come out. I think if you remember the last time we were in the NCAA tournament, Tim Miles got thrown out of the game by, who was it, Carl Hess, who was known as a jackass of an official. And he threw Tim Miles out for pointing at the fact that the clock wasn't running. And that whole thing, it was amazing. I think that was the last time. Okay, let's see, what am I doing here? How about our new workout room? Looks awesome. I'll get to that in a minute. Scott Schrader again with the same thing. That new weight room looks amazing. Tiger Shark Driver says Trees and Travis is his name. I was thinking of Benedict Arnold, so I thought that was a pretty good thing. John Simino in Bangkok says, thanks for cheering me up on this Tuesday morning in Bangkok. Trader Trav, I guess that is his name, has soured my week. Husker Online came up with a top five most hated Husker figures. Peterson, Trev, Frost, Perlman agree. Well, what do you guys think? Well, I think Steve Peterson has to be the most hated guy because he took everything. I mean, the dumb decisions by him started the dumb decision making that's been, you know, filters down the world. You know what I mean? Okay. So the five most top hated Husker figures. I don't think Travis is above Frost. I really don't. I think Frost came in and was given every opportunity to coach. And what he did was slack off and screw around and, in the process, become the worst coach in Nebraska school history. And I would put him easily second to Peterson. Perlman, I think he always gets more shit than he should. Man, I don't know. What do you guys think on the top five most hated Husker figures? Oh, they have to be Husker figures. I was thinking of, you know, like, I don't know, somebody from Colorado or Oklahoma. Well, we'd have to put Harvey Perlman up there because I don't know if there's that many to hate, is there? Paul Dallin says, he did a great job. I'm pissed he left, but I think the reasons will come out. That there was a tweet that over the past few days that came out and said that basically all the facilities were very far behind. And I think we're building that whole Go Big Red project or whatever the hell it was. And today they finally opened up. I hope I have these right. Come on. The Nebraska with the new weight room. And it looks, it looks like millions of dollars went into it. And they're, you know, wow. Yeah. I mean, this looks like a place for a small army, doesn't it? I guess it is a small army. I mean, look at that. That is just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, I don't know what weight rooms look like all that much, but that looks absolutely beautiful to me. And that was released today. That was opened up today. So Trev Alvers can't claim credit for that because he was done after he left. But there was a tweet this weekend, and it said, you know, all the facilities projects have fallen behind. And I would probably say being involved in construction in my early years, I think, or if you pay any attention to what goes on, that's kind of typical, you know, cost overruns and time overruns. Whoever finishes shit like that on time, they're probably far and few between. And I just lost my place. But Tread, you know, it's kind of funny. The day he has his press conference is the day they open it up. And then let's see, whatever facility, what else did the tweet say? The tweet did say something about, if I remember correctly, I mean, you have the lawsuit against Trev in which he's named as a defendant, and that will continue to follow him. Normally, what you do with those is you just settle them. I remember Kirk Ferentz at Iowa a little while back was, he had a lawsuit against him for, I think it was discrimination, and he wanted to fight it. And the state ended up settling it, and taxpayers had to pay part of it. And the reason, I mean, if you think of this from Kirk Ferentz's perspective, why would he want to fight it? It's because he didn't want his name attached to that lawsuit for the rest of his life, something that somebody could bring up along with him. And I'm guessing that Trev Bowers is probably thinking, we should fight this, or, you know, it wasn't going to go away without him paying it off, I'm guessing. So, and I am guessing there. But there's other stuff about Title IX that may be coming out. We'll see what happens. But I, you know, that kind of crap is so, well, we do have a massive compliance department, but I think so much of that stuff is so NCAA rules and all that crap and so hard to follow that, I don't know, sometimes it seems like you can't help but have infractions in those areas. I'm going to try to find some comments. Okay, new rate room showed that off. Ding, 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 ding. Clay Castelder says, do not wish him luck. No, I wish him bad luck. I hope Texas A&M's lose every game ever now. How awesome would that be? What if they play Texas, though? You know what I mean? What if they're actually playing Texas? So I'd still be rooting for Texas A&M. Anyway, you know, it's Matt Rhule at his press conference. I didn't see the football parts because that's, you know, spring practice is going to start soon. And, you know, we'll have more on football coming up. But I think the key to this is that Matt Rhule is, I think I entitled my article today. What the hell did I title it? I entitled it something like Matt Rhule says everything you want to hear or something like that. But the guy is a very good speaker. I think I'd give him that. And that he is eloquent. He doesn't seem fake. He knows what to say to a fan base. He might want to be run for governor. I mean, if he stays in Nebraska and he loves Lincoln this much, I mean, maybe Matt Rhule should run for governor after he's won, like, I don't know, 4 national titles in a row. Something that beats Nick Saban. So we'll see, you know, and then he can run for governor. And then there you go. It's like a right off into the sunset ending. Tiger Sharp Driver says, if Dylan leaves from this bullshit, I'm going to flip. Why would he? Here's the thing about this. I don't think anybody really gives a shit about this outside of Nebraska. I think I've said that earlier a little bit with the Texas A&M stuff. But put it this way. If you're not on social media, then you're probably not paying attention to anything Trev Alberts is ever going to do again because he's Texas A&M, and who the hell cares what they're going to do after we get done playing them in these tourney games, these opening round tourney games. If you're on social media, well, you can just block Trev Alberts's Twitter account, and there you go. You've eliminated most of the angst about this. And I think that right now, I think you just kind of go, okay, he left, and we get to play Texas A&M, and now we're done with this. Because I don't, you know, I argued about this in my kitchen before we started the show, and my family basically said, how important, one of my family members said, how important is an athletic director? I mean, what do they really do anyway? And I think there's two things about that. Number one, they're responsible for finding and hiring coaches underneath them. Right now, that doesn't appear to be an issue at all at Nebraska with how well everything's going. I can't think of a program that's performing poorly that any changes need to be there. They would typically do Well, you know, he did. Trev Alberts did that big volleyball event. You got to give him credit for that. But those kind of things they're responsible for. But, you know, they go after donors. They're supposed to have that relationship. So I don't know if it's not the end of the world. We're going to go get another athletic director. And I know everybody's like, oh, we're going to have a president first. And I'm not sure that's true. I know that everybody probably wants to go, I don't want to know who my boss is, but they had gone after Jamie Pollard before, and I probably, if they don't go after Jamie Pollard again, there has to be something wrong with him, because I'm guessing Jamie Pollard is sitting over there and he's thinking, oh my God, I'm stuck here at Iowa State forever. Not that I'm bashing on the Iowa State people, I am, but the problem is you just got stuck outside the Big Ten SEC fence, and quite frankly, Nebraska didn't, and there is going to be a massive, huge number dollar difference between the haves and the have-nots than there ever has before. I think I saw a tweet over the weekend that said because of contracts and how the TV contracts are working out, Washington State and Oregon State are going to get something like $360,000 a piece next year. When you consider what is the Big Ten's payout, $50 million a year compared to 300. Which one would you want? Which one would you not want? And that's so drastic a loss for them being left behind in the Pac 2. It's unbelievably tragic, you know, and, ooh, Clay Casseller says everyone bashes Iowa State. That's what they're there for, to be bashed. Paul Dalen says, my boss is an Aggie, an ATM grad, Texas A&M grad. It's going to be a fun week. I think that it's going to be a fun week too. I just want us to win. I want us to put all this other stuff behind us and then move on with life. The puzzle guy says the Memorial Stadium game was more Cook's idea than Albert's. That's true, but you at the athletic director, you would be responsible for actually getting that done, arranging all the resources and stuff like that. I'll be rude to John Cook once, and I'll say ideas are easy, execution is hard. Okay. Linda Wilkin comes in with Big Ten, 60 million, Big 12, 12 million a year, Washington State and Oregon State, 366,000 a year. There's, you know, which of these things is not like the other? And I mean, oof, boy, are we in the right place. I think, as you look ahead for the next, I think there was another large, there's another large lawsuit filed against the NCAA again today for roughly what it is again for not allowing athletes to make money off themselves in the past and things like that. Lawsuits, I think, like that are just they're going to just keep continue to pile up because there's money there. Where this has gone, it's anybody guess. I don't think that. Congress is going to save the NCAA in any terms because the winds have shifted away from them. What else happened today? Dartmouth, if you've been following this at all, Dartmouth's basketball team was allowed to be a union and voted themselves to be a union. And today, the school, Dartmouth, announced that they would not be negotiating with the union that is the basketball team. So all of this stuff is legal precedents for the future. And it's going to be really funky. And I know that probably most people don't know, want to know about it, but it is the entire future of the sport we're looking at here. And this is harder to do alone. It's something you'd have to get used to. Okay, let's see what else have we got. He did talk, Matt Rhule did talk some football. What did he say? Come on, Minnie. What did he say about Dylan Raiola today? He did say that he liked Danny Kalen's competitiveness. Dylan Raiola was throwing before his workout at 6 a.m. Rule wants a quarterback that gets pissed off and attacks. That sounds fun. We need Tommy Hill, Ty Robinson, Bryce Benhart to make a jump. Then young guys will follow. And he named a bunch of seniors. And, boy, if you pick three people, those would be it. Bryce Benhart, make a jump. Young guys will follow. There was a line from Milt Tanniper from years ago. It's in his book, you know. He basically said that the purpose of a lot of times is that the older players need to be in place as leaders and to do all that's expected of them, like doing weight room stuff and workout stuff and learning offense and things like that, so that the younger players will understand what it takes to be great. In other words, they have to influence the players down, you know, the players that are just coming in. And I think because Milt Tanniper, you know, the offensive line coach, greatest offensive line coach ever, and Bryce Benhart made a huge jump last year. And if he can make another huge jump this year, I think that'll be, you know, like some kind of comeback story that we should herald with T-shirts or something. We might not see Gabe Irvin or Ramir Johnson in the spring game because they're probably both still recovering from surgery. Grant Bricks is up to 300 pounds, which means he may be getting ready to actually, you know, play this fall. Let's see. Jamal Banks is having a big impact, and I think Jamal Banks talked after that. He did say about the athletic director is he said he wanted the athletic director to have urgency, which I thought was an interesting comment. But, all right. You know what? Give me some comments, and we'll see when we finish here. Let's see. Nick Breyer says NCAA wrestling tourney. How likely is Nebraska to come home with some hardware? Oh, come on. Is it this? See, this is where Todd is needed because he knows everything about wrestling. I think Peyton Robert is that Nebraska has number one, and we can maybe see him win a national title. You know, I would hope Nebraska finishes in the top five nationally. John says, I thought the NCAA was effectively a nonprofit. What money is available in settlements or decisions? Well, one of the things you have to remember is that the NCAA doesn't control the college football playoff system. That's its own thing. When the BCS, bowl games, they own none of that. They're responsible for income and revenue, none of that. All that stuff is through completely different things outside the NCAA. The NCAA, however, does own March Madness. And I don't know what that's up to now, but I think it's probably in the $800 million range, maybe. Probably getting close to $1 billion. So that's a lot of money to basically bring into the NCAA, pay a whole bunch of lawyer staff of the NCAA to constantly lose lawsuits they could settle. But they keep fighting them because they keep getting their jobs are still there. So. There is a lot of money, fair amount of money coming into the NCAA, and then they distribute it back out to their members, which are NCAA institutions, which is why this is going to be even more dangerous for smaller schools. If you have this split, you know, if the NCAA just basically falls apart, you're going to see a bunch of the haves just go do their own thing, and everybody else is going to have to figure out how to pay for their athletic departments, honestly. Oh, Nick Breyer says Ridge Lovett is number one at 149. I should have known that. That was one thing I didn't write down. James Boardman says, you're doing a great job, John. Thank you. Tiger Shark Diver says, we need a quarterback who can breathe first. It's going to be interesting what we see out of our quarterbacks. Well, I guess in the spring game. I Linda Wilkins says, will Nebraska not being in the AAU come back and bite them in the, and then she configures, it finishes in another comment, ass. Well, I think here's the key, and I'll probably end the show with this. And I want you to think about this. Okay? It's imperative that Nebraska, for the future, Nebraska Athletics stays in the Big Ten. Now, you don't really see the Big Ten throw anybody out. If Nebraska were to get kicked out of the Big Ten or removed from the Big Ten or not be part of the haves, I think they would have a very, very hard time of keeping the money together that they need to be a successful high-level athletic program. So the key to staying there is staying in the Big Ten. And if there was ever any excuse they would find in the Big Ten to kick Nebraska out, it might be the AAU thing. I don't know if you people know what that is. It's basically a large research body where Big Ten schools share all sorts of research. Basically, they get to, you know what I think they do? I think they get together and get more grants because they go, oh, look at us. We're all big, smart people all together. And, you know, everybody's terrified of big, smart people all together. And big crowds of smart people all together, so they just throw money at them to get rid of them. That's how the AAU works. Nebraska was removed from the AAU because the AAU does not look upon agricultural research as what Nebraska mostly does, UNL anyway, and they look more at medical research because, you know, I mean, the healthcare is about 33% of the U.S. economy, and God knows there's shit tons of money in it. So, if my understanding, and this is off the top of my head, University of Nebraska Medical Center does a lot of the research. I think when, you know, the whole pandemic started, they were known worldwide for COVID research or some damn thing like that. But if they can somehow get like the University of Nebraska Medical Center tied in with UNL so it all looks like one happy big university, then they could maybe get back in the AAU and get back on the good side of the academics in the Big Ten. And you have to understand this about universities, okay? There's an academic side and there's an administration side. And those two aren't always, you know, aligned. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. That's up to whatever the universities want to put themselves as. But academic people, I mean, they're academic people, you know what I mean? I think I said typically earlier, they're more on the left side, you know, they're more liberal, and that's true. But you have to keep that in mind when you look at anything that's attached to college sports, is every one of these universities, especially in the Big Ten, has a very strong academic side. I don't know if that's true for Nebraska. We're just smaller than everybody. I think that there are probably a lot of people in the academic side of the University of Nebraska would like to see changes, not so much conservative influence, you know, mostly because it's, well, it's marketing, okay? Matt Brown put out an article. Matt Brown is my former boss at SB Nation. He does a newsletter that he gets paid for because he has really good information. If you want anything on EA college football, he's the guy that knows more than anybody about it now. But he put out an article talking about how hard it might be for people in red states. And I don't mean to get too political, but all this is germane. College administrators in red states might be more difficult to find and more difficult. And I think that that's a good point. But here's the thing I want you to think about. Years ago, Missouri had that event where the thing where they, I'm doing such a shitty job of explaining this. Missouri had something happen on the campus where there was a bunch of people accusing racism stuff. You know, God knows Missouri's history. And then the lady with the, we need some muscle over here, that whole incident. Well, that whole incident cost Missouri about 15% of their enrollment. Their enrollment dropped so much that they had to close dorms and things. And I think that was a triggering event for a lot of college administrators where they're terrified of being that school that gets caught in that and that just destroys the college and it damages the university to, you know, that they lose enrollment, they lose money, and they lose funding, and they lose prestige because of all that stuff. So I don't know if that's, I agree with Matt that that's true for just red state people, but it certainly seems to be more screamy there. And there's a lot of issues that right now, because of our political environment, we are so clinging to our left and right viewpoints that we don't back up and step back and just look at things and say, what would be the logical, the best thing way for things to work here? So what am I saying here? I'm basically saying, you know, if the University of Nebraska-Lincoln needs more liberals to get better professors and to get a higher ranking prestige that keeps us in the Big Ten, I don't see a problem with that. I think it would be a good thing. Like I said earlier, college is where you go to, you know, discover yourself, find communism, and then come out of it and going back to paying taxes and being a conservative and bitching about all the taxes you're paying. Anyway, any questions on that? You guys stopped commenting a lot, probably because, you know, I got into politics. Matt Snovak says, John, why are you trying to bring logic to logical-based issues? What the fuck? Yeah, there is that. You know, my problem is I'm one of those guys a lot of people hate, and then I'm that both parties suck. Both of our political parties just suck. And the reason I am that guy is because I don't fit into either of them. I could give you examples, but I probably would get myself in a lot of trouble. But I don't, my politics don't fit into these things. And I resent the fact that, I resent the fact that you have to be perfect aligned on all these talking points, and then you can fit into something. And I just, I'm too contrary for that. Linda Wilkins says, John, call it a night. You look like you're tired. Good night. Thanks for tonight. Thank you guys, everybody, for being here. We have a crap ton of people watching on Twitter, apparently. But I have been struggling lately. And the fatigue has been a little bit, it's been overwhelming. Today I spent trying to figure out JSON. JSON in a Grafana dashboard, so I can monitor some Windows servers where I really need to monitor them. If anything happens to them, the people need to get alerted. And I don't know JSON, and there's so many variables in there. That's the thing that drives my brain insane. Let's see. Okay. Two more things. Fred Sacco says, what did you discover in college, John? You don't want to know what I discovered in college? I discovered I had an ego. You know, and if you go through life without an ego, you are going to be crushed into tiny bits by the sick, dark world that we live in. But if you have an ego, it will allow you to survive it. And sometimes a lot of that is keeping that ego at bay. Maybe when you go and leave a school and go to another school, you don't tweet back at the school. Kind of like, yeah, I know we broke up, but I just want to see if you're doing okay. No, you're not, you jackass. You know, that kind of stuff. Your ego gets that big. Somebody could really tell you to get off Twitter and log off. You know what I mean? But I did. I discovered I had an ego. I discovered that, you know, I could be an attention whore, be an intention whore like I am, and enjoy it. So that is the biggest discovery I made in college. Target Shock Diver says, John discovered he was a hippie. No, I discovered I was a punk rocker. It was back in the 80s, man. Oh, come on. I missed another one. Let's see. Oh, look at this guy. This guy again. JSON is very understandable, John. Read the docs. It's something I suck at. Okay. Justin Rogge, I missed some that I wanted to go back to. Justin Rogge, John, will we have a coordination bracket group? Yes, actually, there is a bracket contest. If you go to coordination.com, you can join in our bracket. And we'll give, what am I giving away? Sweatshirts, t-shirts, and a hat, beanie, bandana thing. James Boardman says, I discovered I like beer more than school. Yeah. Dadgummit, I think somebody back here asked me what I majored in or some damn thing like that. And I tell you what, here's what happened to me in college. I spent 7 years in college getting a four-year degree. So I went to college with the idea that I was going to be an electrical engineer. Because, you know, one of my brothers is an electrical engineer. The other one just sold a wireless business. So he's a tech guy. I have a sister that went to UNL and graduated in mechanical engineering in 3.5 years, voted best engineer in her class, Tau Beta Pi, while she was raising two sons. So, you know, the engineering was a strong thing. I went into engineering, stayed there for about 2.5 years, realized I wasn't a very good student because of the aforementioned beer thing, and I was terrible at taking tests. So I started, during that time for electives, I was taking photography, and I took filmmaking from Dave Reed and Wheeler Dixon, and I enjoyed those things. So I really, what I did was I went into the undeclared college, and I stayed in the undeclared college. And I stayed in the undeclared college because I discovered that I could take any class across the university I wanted to. So I started taking 300 and 400 level computer science courses that I had no business being in. And I probably told this story before, but one day, Celia Daly, I think was her name, she was the head of the computer science department. We're sitting in this 300 level ADA course, and she says, calls out all these names, and then she goes, John Johnston, she said, calls out these names and says, you can't take this course, you didn't pass the prerequisite. And then she says my name, I want to see you after class. And I come up and she says, Mr. Johnson, I know all of my computer science students. I don't know you. You will tell me how you got into this course. And I told her, I said, I'm undeclared. What I've discovered is I can take anything. And I was. And she said, well, thank you for being honest. I will make sure that this never happens again. By the way, you can stay in this course if you can prove that you can do the work. Because I told her, I've taken this course in computer science, taken this one. She's like, what the hell? And she let me stay in the course, and I did pass it, and it was ADA, the programming language. And God, now I forgot where I was going with this other than just rambling on. But, my college career. I ended up getting an art degree. I have minors in math and physics, computer science, film studies. But if I got a four-year art degree in 7 years, I was never really a very good student, but, you know, I got there. And I studied a lot of different stuff. That was back in the days when you could probably spend that much time in college and still not have $200,000 worth of debt, which is something we need to, you know, work on as a society. I think we need educated people, but we not need to not put them in massive debt to get there. Okay. I am getting tired. I've almost made, oh my God, I have made it an hour. How about that? Let's see. I don't have really a sign off for myself. Linda Wilkins points out that is how long it took Bluto and Animal House. Yes, I've been able to use the phrase 7 years of college down the drain many times in my life. Okay. Murph Dog Brewing Company goes, what's going on with the audio? I don't know. I didn't know there was bad audio. I've been monitoring things. I have been having some internet issues. And you know, it's looked pretty good tonight. Anyway, thank you for being here. Thank you for the support. Thanks for following Corn Nation. I have been releasing more history videos slowly over in the Hardcore College Football History Channel. And please, I released one about the 1926 Rose Bowl. And Washington lost to Alabama 20-19. It was the game that changed the South. And if Washington would have been able to score one more point or two more points and beat Alabama, maybe we would have never heard from the South. It'd still be just a crappy football place. But it's kind of amazing. Okay, good night, everybody, and thanks for being here. Take care of yourselves. And go Big Red. God help us beat Texas A&M because we would win our first NCAA basketball game and we'd move on. And that's really what it's about now. It's a life lesson. Survive and advance. Go Big Red.